Welcome to The Sipping Hour, presented by the National American, recorded live at the Public House Theater. Now please enjoy Episode January.
Was a dumpster fire. A
dumpster filled with old diapers.
And old milk.
And Donald Trump's old hair. 2016 was B-A-D bad.
Well, except for Go Cubs Go! Go Cubs Go! Hey Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are gonna win today.
Yes, the Cubs did win the World Series 100 years and they never found the time to write a better song.
We're at the dawn of a baseball dynasty.
Oh, I can't wait.
If the Cubs hadn't won, I would have quit my job and walked the earth, righting wrongs to restore the balance of justice. At my side, my blade, Chris Bryant, named for the Cubs' third baseman, Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant, the blade, not the Cubs' third baseman, and I would be the cool steel of righteousness in a world hot with pain.
Yeah, you've mentioned this plan. We had 1 week of Cubs bliss, and then we voted for the end of times. I'd take another 100 years of Cubs losing if it meant avoiding the next four.
Kayla, I love you, but sometimes you go too far.
Do the math, Jake. If you think about everything and everyone that was lost, one Cubs win cost us a prince, Mrs. Brady, a unified Europe, Professor Snape, Sharon Jones, Harper Lee, Leonard Cohen, Muhammad Ali, David Bowie, Debbie Reynolds, and Debbie Reynolds Jr., a.k.a. Carrie Fisher, a.k.a. Princess Leia. Now insert your favorite celebrity who died in 2016 here.
Prince.
Willy Wonka. Oh. The parade was cool. I think Chris Bryant locked eyes with me.
It'd be nice if 2016 killed some of the stuff we didn't like. Like police brutality, men's short sleeve dress shirts, fake tanning, negative wind chill, deductibles, venture cards, performative allyship, parking meters, tourists who walk too slow, drunk bros, high cable fees, rape as a plot device, whitewashing in movies, overusing kale.
Babe, I can't do anything about kale, but since I don't have to walk the earth, righting wrongs to restore the balance of justice, at my side, my blade, Chris Bryant, named for Cubs third baseman, Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant, the blade, not the Cubs third baseman, and I would be the cool steel of righteousness in a world hot with pain. Yeah, since I'm not doing that, how about I take a crack at a Genesis device, bring back that Spock you like so much?
Well, I know that you're very capable.
Got a B-minus on a physics pop quiz. Yeah.
Save your brain and your energy for the next 4 years. And those dishes.
No matter what rights they take away, I've got your back.
No matter what district we end up in, I've got your back.
Team Chris Bryant. Go Cubs go! Go Cubs go!
Hour. The American... No, let's try that again. Hello and welcome to the National American Presents The Sipping Hour. We're here in the desolate winter desert of North Wrigleyville for a refreshing hour of comedy, storytelling, and defiance. Here's our host, Michelle.
Yeah! Hello, everyone, and welcome again to The Sipping Hour. I'm your host, Michelle. And I hope you're having something wonderful to sip on while we explore tonight's theme, Defy.
Mm. Emily, I defy the patriarchy.
Raleigh, I defy my depression.
Bailey, I defy gravity.
Sean, I defy mediocrity.
Tasha, and I defy my age.
Becca, I defy going to see Hamilton, but only because I'm broke.
Wolfgang, I defy the status quo.
That's some good defiance, guys. I defy anyone to try and keep me in this crazy country now that you know who is going to be the you know what of the United you know what of the you know what.
I think I speak for everyone when I ask, do you know what you're talking about?
I'm getting out before the stupidity starts. I've got passports, some medium quality wigs, several $1,000 in various currencies, and I can say yes, his hands are really that small in 5 languages. I also learned to do this.
Are you Jason Bourne?
I'm not Jason Bourne. If I have to kick and punch my way out of here to avoid 4 years of Trump, I will do it.
Oh, he's the you-know-what.
Yeah. And in the you-know-what.
After the show, I'm getting on a bus, and I won't be back here for 4 years.
But you can't. You have a family.
And we have a contract.
Yeah!
And you have to stay and help us defy you-know-what.
Yeah! Yeah.
Patriotic song, patriotic song. Great,
we're great, Brunsel Ace.
Patriotic song, no one's singing. Yeah, don't go anywhere.
Sorry, but now there are all these voices saying crazy things like Black Lives Don't Matter or Women's Pussies Are For Grabbing.
Oh, don't remind us. Look, let me tell you about a time that I didn't listen to the voices and I was better for it.
Yes. Is an emotionally supportive song. The song is emotionally supportive.
No one wants that.
You will.
You know the scene. It's one of the most visually uplifting scenes in cinema history. Rocky Balboa running up the 72 steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And as he reaches the top and the music hits that crescendo, your soul does at the very same time. And we all have those moments in our life. One of my favorite Rocky Balboa moments occurred my senior year in high school. See, any university would have been lucky to have me. I had consistently good grades, and I participated in a variety of after-school activities. I was in everything from key club to speech team to soccer. I'm terrible at soccer. I took every honors course from calculus to advanced English, and I still haven't used calculus to this day. But I attended a public school that was mediocre at best. We weren't Dangerous Minds bad, and my high school wasn't Breakfast Club iconic. You know, it's like when you're trying to watch Saved by the Bell, and all you can find is California Dreams. So as a result, all of my peers were super competitive, and similar to most high school seniors, they placed their hopes for validation on getting accepted into the top schools. Meanwhile, I'm just trying to get into college and find a college that fit me. And that university turned out to be Northwestern. I knew I wanted to attend college, but every university seemed the same to me. I mean, seriously, the college search is like the dating pool. It blows my mind that there's not a Tinder for college. But back to the story. So one day, my best friend and I were talking, and she shared with me that Northwestern was her first choice. I mistakenly heard Northern. Intrigued about this Northern university, I looked up Northern online and saw that there was a yearly corn festival. That's right, a yearly corn festival, and their mascot was a husky. All right, I was done. I'm like, give me an application, sign me up. I'm going to Northern. But then something told me to keep looking. And as I kept looking, I discovered Northwestern. It was as if I found my soulmate. The campus, swipe right. The selection of majors, swipe right. The school motto, oh, swipe right. I couldn't believe it. After all the searching, I found the one. When I shared my infatuation with others, the reaction wasn't what I expected. I'd say, the campus is beautiful.
It's extremely difficult to get into.
Their School of Journalism is one of the best in the country.
The university accepts only 13% of freshman applicants every year.
But purple is one of the university colors, and I love purple.
They don't give merit scholarships.
But that campus, though. And the comments didn't stop there. And I couldn't stop either. I had to get to the top.
That's a great school, but are you sure you'll get in?
I apply early decision. Now what? The odds are in my favor, Trick.
You must have a 28 on your ACT to even be considered.
Oh, I got your 28, and I'll raise you a 29.
My friend, who was the top of her class, didn't get accepted. You should really make sure you're happy with your second choice.
And Northwestern is my second, third, and fourth choice. Now what? I put a stop to all the noise, and I put in work. And then the decisions just started to roll in, and I was at the top of the steps to find out. I got in. I rocked that shit, and I used my black girl magic, and I got in. And what are the naysayers saying now? That's what I thought. It felt good not to let what anyone thought I was capable of hold me back. So here's to each and every one of you. Let's take that energy into 2017, because we're gonna fly now.
So I have 5 days until the inauguration.
But there must be 100 books here.
97 to be exact. They're the most banned and challenged books according to the American Library Association's website.
Song of Solomon, Of Mice and Men, Native Son, Brave New World, As I Lay Dying. These are all considered classics.
They're also books that make people think. I don't expect thinking will be fashionable for the next 4 years. But seriously, I've got a whole list of things that I'm doing before things go from Black Camelot to Agent Orange. Check out my list.
Watch the Michelle Obama Oprah interview, worship or not worship in the manner you see fit, drink white tears, get an IUD.
That last one's for my girlfriend. I suggested she get a bunch of them put up there in case some of our friends can't get to it. Before they cut Obamacare. And there will be a special prize for the best item made up by you.
We'll collect them during intermission and announce the winner at the end of the show. Trump hasn't become liar-in-chief yet, so please use the honor system when completing the checklist.
Good luck, audience. Grace, can you help me get these books to my car?
Why don't you just download them all on a Kindle?
Huh. Good idea. Well, we don't need these then.
Shouldn't we pick that up?
Just leave them. Somebody will come by in 5 days to burn them anyway.
Freedom was fun. Don't forget to fill out your checklist by intermission.
Je m'appelle Michelle. Comment ça va?
Perfecting your French before you abandon all of us to fight for your inalienable rights?
Oui. First up, Paris.
An American expat in Paris. How retro in a Josephine Baker Kanye 2011 kind of way.
Très romantique.
Romance? Aren't you married?
Yeah, in America. Abroad, I'm seeking asylum, if you get my drift.
Drift it that way.
I'm gonna drink the cheese and eat the wine.
I think I know what you're trying to say, but no.
I'm gonna have weird sex with lots of locals.
That is more clear.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? That means...
I know what it means.
Beep, beep, beep.
That is not what that means.
It does if I say it when everybody's naked.
I can't believe how long it's been since we've gotten the squad together for drinks. It's
don't
really
call
cold.
Us a squad.
Okay, so what's new? One of you has to have a good dating story.
I had to dump a guy last week because he wasn't upset enough about the inauguration.
Right? I stopped messaging with a guy who said he's never voted before.
That is the most straight male, able-bodied, cisgendered.
He didn't even vote for Obama. Not
who
even
are you,
first
Fraser
term
Crane?
Obama. Wait, what happened to that guy you were seeing?
Oh, Chad? I had to end it.
His name was Chad. That's like a rom-com, good-for-nothing fiance in Act One kind of name. Oh, is that why you broke up?
No. It's hard to explain. Let me just read you the text. He writes...
Hey there, stranger. Not feeling chatty?
Not been feeling human, wallowing.
Sad face emoji.
We need some context here.
Yeah, did he actually write sad face emoji?
Oh, sorry. That's the most important part. This was the day after the election.
Oh,
the day after.
So then he writes...
So, what you been up to aside from wallowing? Winky face emoji.
Supporting friends, worrying about the future, trying to survive work. You?
A bit the same. The whole office is running at half tilt. Hashtag uncomfortable. Stressed emoji.
He's complaining about work.
So I tried to ghost him, but then he said...
Yup. Doing my best to accept the things I cannot change.
Doing my best to accept the things I cannot change.
Give us a freaking day, damn it!
Was it the word accepts? I can see accepts being the issue for you here.
Exactly. I will not accept. And give me a day to wallow.
Justified breakup!
Wait, there's more. Then he sent a hug gif.
What?
A hug gif. A gif of a hug.
It's a gif.
Seriously? The only thing that stops my nightly panic attacks is the slideshow of Obama and kids. I'm scared each time I ride the CTA I'm going to end up in a Sean King tweet. I'm on a wait list at my gynecologist to get an IUD, and you're focusing on how I pronounce GIF.
Rejecting!
Well, it's a GIF. Graphics interchange.
Don't you dare finish that acronym.
Wait, what is a hug GIF?
Well, it was like this little cartoon reaching out to hug me, and it said...
Sending virtual hug.
Vomit.
And I know he meant well, but I'm just so tired of it all.
But I'm the good guy. I voted for her.
Good guy with crappy GIF game.
Patronizing good guy shit.
Yeah, if you have to say you're the good guy.
And maybe, just maybe, there's a lesson to be learned in all of this. All of my rambling voicemails to Paul Ryan's office. NPR articles I've posted to my like-minded Facebook friends. The donations I've made to Planned Parenthood in Pence's name. Maybe this was my way to feel like I was actually doing something productive.
You had to feel some semblance of control. The racists, homophobes, xenophobes, etc. are easy to spot. The guys with well-meaning gifs maybe just make it all hurt even more.
Oh my god, it's Chad. He sent a gif. Worse, it's an abs pic.
Oh.
His abs look like an alien.
Thinking of you this week. Hope you're staying safe. Drink sometime.
Done. I'm done. No dating for the next 4 years.
So, no shirt, but he's wearing a fedora?
It's here! It's here! Yay!
But what's in the package? Who sent you a gift?
Obama.
Obama? Why did you get a gift? Is that a cooler? Are those Omaha steaks?
Better. It's my free birth control. Thanks, Obama. No, really, this is probably the last package of free birth control ever. Thank you, Obama.
Obama steaks.
Hey Michelle, what you doing?
Just stopping my mail until January 2020.
4 years is a lot of Bed Bath & Beyond coupons. They'll accept expired ones, you know.
Now is where you tell me you're planning on storming the Bastille, saving America from itself, burning down the streets.
No, not exactly that. I'm going to be a progressive nuisance to my ignorant relatives, friends, and coworkers who think that they're not voting for racism, sexism, ableism, and xenophobia when they vote for Trump, a racist, sexist, ableist, xenophobe.
Confronting your social circle. That should be easy.
It's not, because I've loved these people my whole life, but to not do the little things means the big things stay big. Too big.
This is a public service announcement brought to you by Get the Fuck Out Foundation. Not suffering fools since 1997.
Hi, I'm Manny Manteca, and this presentation is titled Dark People in Darker Times. A Guide to Survival During the Trumpocalypse. Now that our country is doomed to an orange president who has installed white supremacy in the White House, I'd like to go through some scenarios with you. Let's see what dangers we face in the near, almost present future. First, we have Alicia and her girlfriend, Mika-chan. Now, let's see what happens when they go to visit Alicia's parents in their more conservative neighborhood.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
Hi, Alicia!
Hey, Alicia. Yes. You guys remember Mika-chan, my girlfriend?
Alicia, no!
Do you want the whole neighborhood to hear you? We're a mixed-race household. The last thing we need is for someone to hear we have a lesbian daughter. Oh, crap! There's Mr. Johnson. He's the grand wizard of our neighborhood association.
Hi, Mr. Johnson! Our daughter's not a lesbian. She's just tall. Okay.
Boy, did they dodge a bullet. If Mr. Johnson had heard Alicia, those two lesbian lovebirds would have been given an all-expenses-paid mandatory stay at one of Mike Pence's schools for homo shock therapy. I heard that toilet wine coolers are to die for. Now we turn to Ms. Galloway's third grade class. Today's social studies lesson, the civil rights era.
Today, class, we are going to learn about a great man, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was a leader in the fight for civil rights, and make no mistake, children, people are still fighting for their rights and for equality in this country to this day. Systematic racism is truly a festering wound on the American dream.
Whoa there, Ms. Galloway. I'd be careful with that kind of talk in front of children. Those kids are so brainwashed they would turn in their own parents faster than you can say Yu-Gi-Oh! You see, in Trump's America, all children watch a state-mandated children's program.
Oh boy, my favorite show, The Littlest Klansman. He's always getting into such crazy shenanigans.
My favorite episode was The Time He Burned That Cross.
That's every episode.
Hey kids, what's the slogan of that show?
Snitching is radical.
Sure, kids, whatever you say. Hey, look over there, kids, an adult doing some anti-Trump things.
Let's get him!
Yay!
Next, I'd like to tell you about my cousin, Arturo Manteca. We were having a quinceañera for his sister when, turns out the caterer forgot tortillas.
I can grab them.
Arturo? Arturo, don't forget your ID, mijo. You know the police are harassing anyone darker than Jennifer Lopez. Arturo!
It was too late, Arturo's mom.
Adios.
As soon as your son stepped out onto the street, two police stopped him.
Papers, sir?
Oh, right. They're right here. Hang on. I know I have my ID right here. You know, I think I actually just left in the house right here. Give me a sec.
He's resisting!
What?
And that's all it took. We later learned that the police had, nudged him. with their batons. Nudged him mercilessly, and...
No, not my baby!
Yes. Oh, just simply nudged him. Nudged him within an inch of his life. Gave him quite the nudge! Nudged him so bad!
Ay, cabrón, we get it!
Right, sorry. even though we explained that he was in fact born here in the States, was third generation, and didn't even speak Spanish...
They deported my baby!
He was 23.
He'll always be my baby.
Of course, the beating, nudging, was filmed and spread all over the internet. White people claimed that if only he had respected the policeman's baton more, then he would have been fine.
Que la chingada.
We can thank that wonderful Papers, Please law from Arizona that has spread throughout the country for losing Arturo.
They say he was deported,
but we haven't heard from him for months. There are rumors that there's this giant hole in the Mojave Desert that they are filling with bodies.
We'll always remember you, Arturo. Now, I know what you're thinking. Manny, this is crazy. This isn't George Orwell. Hell, this isn't even Hideo Kojima. This is Donald Trump. To that, I say, oh, you poor, sweet fools. Look at the people in his cabinet. Look at the people in your life who are saying, give him a chance. Look at those who don't care about the Russian hacks that may have influenced our election. Look at the conflicts of interest already at play. Look at Trump revoking press passes and Congress already taking away people's insurance in the middle of the night. No, seriously, look at it, please. So don't tell me that this is crazy. So now we come to the ultimate question. How do dark people get through darker times?
Eat a lot.
No. Be ready, be prepared, and stay educated. Find solace in friends and family, and suffer no fools.
Be proud and loud. Do not let them erase your identity.
Call out the bullshit from friends and family. Have those difficult conversations, and most importantly, call out your own bullshit. The only way we get through this intact is to become the best version of ourselves.
Rise to the occasion. Take up the cause and support each other with words, with art, and most importantly, with action.
This has been a public service announcement by the Get the Fuck Out Foundation. Thank you, and God us bless. Trapped in the timeout room for seeming duration of eternity with this gigantically boring task of staring at the wall laying before me. Due to the nature of my crimes, my crayons and pudding pack have been taken away. Given the circumstances, life seems desolate, and I'm left to wonder what this cruel universe has in store for me. I hear a disturbance in the distance. Rather, down the hall. Captain Cody out.
Now, Katie, you're just going to have to go into the timeout room and stare at the wall while you think of what you've done.
But I don't wanna!
No, that's enough of that.
But Mom!
You'll stay in timeout until you act right.
What are you in for?
Tantrum in the park. You?
Drawing on the wall.
Artist?
Yeah, you could say that.
What's your medium?
Crayons, mostly. Sometimes finger paint. I'll use pudding if I'm desperate.
Gotcha. Well, I'm guessing staring at these blank walls makes you pretty angry.
Not really. I just see a lot of blank canvas of endless potential.
It's just crazy that they can throw us in here like this. No trial, no recourse, no nothing. We won't even get a kangaroo court.
Well, they're the grown-ups of the world. They were here long before us, so they make the rules.
Why should they get to decide? We got just as much right to the future as them. I think we got a raw deal.
You're probably right, but throwing a tantrum isn't going to do anything about it.
But that's all I want to do right now.
We've got to be better. We've got to organize.
But all the kids are always running in different directions.
True, but the struggle is the same.
Just not sure it will ever change.
Well, if they put us all in here, they'll have a revolt on their hands for sure.
It's like my teacher tells me we have all these rights and that we live in the land of the free. But then my parents tell me I need to listen to them because I live under their roof. It's like I live in some kind of hypocritical tyranny. I can't take it anymore. I'm gonna have to stand up. I'm gonna have to fight back. I'm gonna have to become...
Okay, it's been long enough. You can come out and play again.
Yay!
Did you learn your lesson?
Yes, Mommy. I won't ever tantrum again.
Okay, you can have a cookie now.
Yay, cookies!
See? Behave and you'll get rewards.
Captain's log,
minute 12. Many come in, but few ever stay. Indignant when they first come in, disgusted with the system while they're here, and joyous upon their chance to get out. Oh, how critical we can be until they welcome us back into their gaze, into their world. How can we ever reform what we strive to be a part of? Especially when they have cookies. By the time we get there, we'll have forgotten what it was like down here. We may never be able to deliver justice back to the wall-staring corner. And that's the tragedy. That's why I draw on walls.
The day after the election, I tried to smile for my students, some who had just voted for the first time. We sat in my classroom, puffy-eyed, confused, and scared. I'm not making this up. These were the lesson plans for the day. The seniors were supposed to read about Ophelia's death in Hamlet caused by the men who controlled her choices. The juniors read about the murders of Gatsby and the American Dream. And the freshmen were reading Orwell's Animal Farm about the fascist pig, literally, or I mean, well, it's an allegory, manipulating the uneducated animals to blindly follow his authoritarian lead. That day sucked. I stand in a place of privilege, but I am also scared and angry. So I have to defy the way I know how, in the classroom. I've worked very hard to be this underpaid and undervalued, so I'm gonna do it right. Hold my students to high standards and be there for them when they are scared. And for the kids who aren't, oh, they are damn well going to learn to be good citizens who treat one another with respect. It never feels like enough, but I will teach my students that they have value. I will speak up when a man interrupts me in a staff meeting. I will step in when a male student interrupts a female student, or any student for that matter. I will add texts written by female and non-white authors, but only refer to them as authors. I will reference Beyonce in class as often as possible. I will continue my hashtag Black History Month mini lesson of the day, even though it's not part of the prescribed lesson plan. I will use The Catcher in the Rye to teach about sexual assault and consent. I will mold critical thinkers, students who can determine the difference between real and fake sources. I will not straighten my curls. While many have said that I would look more professional, I want students to know that Jews walk among them. I will encourage my students to speak their minds loudly, write their opinions clearly, all with strong, credible evidence. I will teach students why plagiarism is wrong, even if apparently it doesn't matter. I will teach students how to write and speak and use real words in complete sentences, even if apparently it doesn't matter. I will teach students that we don't bully, cyber or in real life, even if apparently it doesn't matter. I will try not to laugh as the father of a student points a finger in my face and asks, "What are you, some kind of feminist?" I will take a deep breath and say, well, I am a human. I will reinterpret the ending to The Great Gatsby. Sure, the book basically says that success is only attainable if you come from a rich family, but no, guys, you have to work harder, jump higher, deal with more bullshit, but it is possible to achieve. There are going to be even more people saying that you can't do it. So you do it, you defy, and you reach for that green light. Even if it's a dream that is rooted in the past, you say loudly that I have value, and we will beat on, like, both ceaselessly into the past.
Miss H, are you okay?
Yeah, it's just, you know what, grown-ups cry too. Here, just read this essay by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Is this from that Beyonce song? Ugh, stop trying so hard. Hey, Michelle, does this sign look right?
Drop it, parentheses, like it's hot, close parentheses, not Obamacare. Cute, but Obamacare is one word.
Oh, I guess I better start over. I really don't want to become a meme on lookatthisfuckingprotester.com.
Happy to help. Okay, tell me if my sign is okay.
I'm a selfish person who is abandoning her fellow citizens.
Wait, that's not what I wrote. That's not what it says. It should say you yo to drugs.
That is what you wrote. It's not what I read though.
I should stay too.
I think the world is there for everyone to see whenever they want, and you should see as much of it as you can.
Exactly.
But I don't think you should leave America just because you don't like the president. What are you, Lena Dunham?
This smart radio, I dramatically slapped.
Sorry. No one is as bad as Lena Dunham. I'm just saying, we're all getting ready to do our part to keep America, America. A vacation or a learning opportunity is one thing. Doing weird sex stuff in France is another.
I was gonna do weird sex stuff in a lot of countries. But mostly I was gonna live free.
I'm gonna live free too, by using my freedoms. Making my voice heard on the phone, in my emails, in the streets, and by staying here. I'm not gonna miss a single Beyoncé visual album, okay?
Oh, I didn't even think about it like that.
That's the spirit. Claim your citizens' right to protest and affect change!
No, not that. Do you think I can get title in Monaco?
Girl.
You know, coping with the state of the world and the new president-elect is tough. But I think I have an idea.
What is it?
Yeah, spell it, girl.
I'm gonna be more black than ever before. I'm gonna be blackety-blackety-black than I already am.
Good idea. Screw being scared. I'm not gonna let some Oompa Loompa make me feel like I can't leave the house.
Yes, we should be everything he hates times 10.
Girl, I'm ready for it. I got my bag, hot sauce in my bag, swag. I upgraded regular to jumbo.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and eat fried chicken and waffles with a side of cornbread and watermelon for a snack at work.
Let me get you some Kool-Aid.
Okay? Because if it ain't purple, it ain't mine.
I'm gonna decorate my cubicle with the most blackety black blackness you ever did see. Audre Lorde and Maya Angelou quotes and a giant poster of Malcolm X. And that's just the start.
That's right. You got earrings in the shape of Africa to wear around the office?
Mm-hmm. Right here. Oh. And in the shape of a woman with a fro as a pick. Am I right? I got one.
No, I had heard about a spades league. Y'all want to join?
Oh, yes, honey, yes. But only after I learned how to play trap on the saxophone.
All music comes from black folks, so you really don't got to go that hard.
Okay, you right. Let's just remind country music fans where they got the shit from.
Yes. From this day forward, I will not watch a single, not one that dang film or TV show that stars a white person.
Amen. Who needs Sex in the City when you have girlfriends and living single?
Exactly. See, I'm just going to watch Queen Sugar, Atlanta, Insecure, The Bernie Mac Show, A Different World, 101, Half and Half, Everybody Hates Chris, Dave Chappelle, Blackish, and reruns of Martin for the rest of my black ass life. Even if Netflix won't stream it.
Whew. Now let me tell you something about what I ain't gonna let you tell them. All I won't do in this age of the orange fellow, I will never black down on my blackness.
I will forever season my food.
And I will arrive even later.
She be as smart
the rest of our lives.
And I swear to never, ever, ever reveal the meaning of any black slang to anybody, to nobody.
You know, I think we have a movement on our hands.
I couldn't agree more.
Let's just take over the world.
Yes.
Great! The Kindle was a capital idea.
How many books have you read?
Since we last spoke? Mm-hmm. None. It's been like 30 minutes, Grant.
Love fun.
But, you know, the magic of radio.
Sure, Grace. Maybe we should just announce the winners of the prize.
Ah!
So, with the most check marks, we have Ramona! 36!
Well done. Congratulations, you're ready. All right. And with the best original, we've got Hannah with drinking an extra cup of coffee to be able to stay awake to respond to Trump tweets.
Congratulations to our winners! Thank you!
Obama! Obama! Your term is finally done. Despite those terrible super PACs, you've had an awesome run. But while you're clear, the world's in fear, the people all revolting, there came a monster out to steal this anger that was glaring. But oh, smart, smart, smart. Oh, the rural states of red, they trusted in a pack of lies no matter what we said. Obama, Obama, Trump is giving us hell. Trump is trying to erase you before your changes gel. For you, hope, change, and my belief. For you, the crowds, astounding. For you, they stall, the boisterous mass, their youthful eyes burning. Obama, dear old friend, that future now seems dead. They'd reverse the tide of progress, oh, no matter what we said. Obama, you are silent, they sought a wonder pill. This nation has made up its mind. They got an empty till. Years ago, you started something, a pipe dream of a run. But what a trip, man, you were hip. You went out there and won. And what, oh job, and set, oh deeds. Even for states of red. Alas, they hated you, no matter what we said.
Hey, Michelle, what are you building over there? Some kind of orgasm machine for your sex patriot tour?
Oh. No, it's actually a time machine.
I was being sarcastic. Now you've really lost it.
So I listened to everyone and decided that running away to France isn't an option, that running back in time is the real answer.
Do you even have a degree in time travel studies?
Oh yes, Hudson University, class of 2000.
They have a really good program. They probably taught you the moral implications of time travel then.
What about the moral implications of bigotry, getting free rein? This machine doesn't have to just, you know, undo Trump. We could stop Brexit, we could bring back Prince, and the McRib.
I want those things too, but we have to move forward. President Blue Ivy needs us to.
Blue Ivy? Wait, you're not Tasha. You're a time traveler from the future.
2018 to be exact. It gets really weird really soon after the inauguration. Going back in time isn't the answer. Going back in time isn't the answer. Going back in time isn't the answer.
You're still here.
Oh, well, I have some lines in the last scene.
So, I was putting away the portion of my cooking arsenal that only comes out once a year when I think I may have actually happened upon it, or at least a glimpse of it. That thing that they're all looking for that made America great again. It was stuck to the back cover of a Betty Crocker cookbook circa 1950-something. A little history. All of the Christmas cookies that my mama was known for, her toffee bars were everyone's favorites. Decades after her passing, I found the recipe for the toffee bars. It was in a clipping from the What's Cooking section of the Dayton Journal Herald, now sepia and tattered, and that managed to survive between the sheets of a cookbook that was between the sheets of a cookbook. And knowing that this Thompson family holy grail had to be preserved, I immediately mounted it behind a lattice work of scotch tape and into the inside back cover. Now, I don't know what happened to the rest of this cookbook, but I held on to the inside back cover and I take it out every Christmas. And it's with me every Christmas morning. When I first started making them, the family praised them. But I also got comments like, Momo's toffee bars were a little more this, or had a little more that. I tried to find just the right ingredient, but I believe now that the phenomenon had more to do with more the what the cookies meant to each person than how they tasted. You know, their connection with Mama and the world that they were taken back to, if only for a moment. And I think for me, the connection was the actual clipping itself. Having it in the kitchen with me is like having her with me every Christmas. And although part of me had begun to realize the futility of trying to give everyone their moment with her, I also began to realize what it must be like for those people who wanted so badly to go back into the past, to go back into a time when things were, well, different, when men were men, and when everybody, you know, pulled their own weight supposedly and knew their place. And when that job, which will surely be coming back, was not made obsolete by technology. The problem is, we do now live in a time when things are different. When, you know, it can be hard to evolve, but I know, you know, especially since some of us don't believe in evolution, it can be hard to evolve. But there are certain bells that cannot be unrung, certain ways of life that cannot possibly exist anymore. Take, for example, the What's Cooking article in question. Could you imagine that article opening like this today? Robert Meyer, Mrs. Robert Meyer of 713 Arlington Drive candidly admits, I really don't like cooking, but baking is something else again. I love it. Now obviously I've altered the name and the address to protect the great-grandchild from stalking and trolling and, you know, identity theft. But at the time, the name and address was right there for any old Boo Radley to see it. The recipe goes on to list some very simple ingredients that, if followed to a T, could not have had all of the stardust and magic and love that my mama's had. So, over the years, I had to make it my own, adding ingredients that probably, you know, weren't even available when my mama was baking. And, you know, speaking as someone who likes to bake without a recipe or sew without a pattern, it's probably in my genetics, so she probably went off the rails a few times herself. So now I get compliments like, Mama would be so proud, or these taste just like hers, you know, and between my grandmother and I, she probably wouldn't quite recognize my recipe, even though I think she would respect it. The article also recommends serving these delicious chocolatey toffee treats with frosty lemonade. Thank God she left that advice behind. Because you know what was obviously not great again? American taste buds. Toffee bars were meant for cold milk, maybe coffee, but frosty lemonade? You need to be slapped. That's just nasty. So who's to say that the past was as glorious as our beverages try to make it? Who's to say that my grandmother followed that cookie recipe to the letter? Who's to say that Mr. and Mrs. Robert Meyer weren't murdered in their beds by any number of Dayton, Ohioans who had free access to their address? The only way to ensure that the past remains this perfect, uncomplicated entity, uncomplicated by pesky matters like human rights, global economy, technology, environment, is to leave it in the past where we have the luxury of being selective. If you're trying to go back to the America that was, while trying to close your eyes and ears to the America that is, you may be in for a rude awakening. Just ask Marty McFly. You may be able to glimpse back into a simpler time, but don't expect to stay there without it shit getting weird. In Marty's case, fending off advances from his own mother. In mine, the thought of washing down toffee bars with lemonade. I know that we've had a lot of, let's say, laughs about what we think is on the horizon. We've been some gloomy Gusses and Gusophines, but I wanted us to close the show with what we're looking forward to. So, who wants to go first?
Well, we probably won't be expected to think for ourselves as much. Hear me out. Right now, every day is black or chocks, chai or tea. What do I binge on Netflix?
There are a lot of choices on Netflix.
Too many! And under Comrade Trump, we'll probably all have uniforms and just enough gruel to survive working in the Vaseline mines. And Netflix will only have propaganda.
We'll only have to worry about the chill in Netflix and chill.
Slaves don't really chill. Or think for themselves, but yeah.
What do we do with all that extra thinking power?
I'm thinking, and for maybe the last time, hate?
Oh, yeah, probably.
I bet we're gonna hate things we never thought to hate before, like apple pie, wallets, rainbows.
Rainbows are such show-offs.
As a woman, I'm looking forward to trading on my looks. Blondes with big boobs who wear dresses that look like lingerie don't have to make sense.
Tammy Lauren!
I think it's Tomi.
Don't care.
Oh.
Terry, Kellyanne, Megan Kelly. Does its name really matter?
Well, I'm looking forward to the return of the Underground Railroad. Read about it in the books. But getting to the part when I'm trying to escape from District 11? Well, that's history coming alive.
Well, if you weren't captured and sent back, they had a Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau.
Okay.
He's so dreamy.
How lucky is Canada?
Oh, Canada. No one's going to stop me?
Why stop you? We're all thinking it.
Well, I'm not.
Gas!
We can't end like this. America can't end like this.
So you staying?
Yes. I'm staying to protest and to pester my elected officials.
Yeah!
To change the hearts and minds of family and friends with my arguments for equality and freedom.
Yeah!
To do weird sex stuff that makes all the people that hate inclusion and progressiveness and tolerance mad right here in America.
Yeah!
What?
What?
Good night, everybody!
The National American presents The Sipping Hour is a monthly storytelling and sketch podcast produced by the Public House Theater and the National American. Created by Aisha Leverett, directed by Julian Stroop, and hosted by Michelle Thompson Hay. Written by and starring Nathan Bell, Becca Brown, Emily Hodgman, Raul Luna, Natasha Little, with additional performances by Bailey Neal, Sean Roston, and Wolfgang Stein. Stay tuned for more Sipping Hour.